providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Cortland Economics Report.
Hey, welcome in, time for the second half. I can't even talk. I'm so excited about having John Huber back on the show. Dr. Huber, how's everything down in Austin, Texas, my man?
It is amazing. You know, we're just getting through this year, and things are shaping up nicely. The weather's been great, even with all the rain. So yeah, let's.
Are you doing a lot of TV, a lot of radio?
The last month or so, it has picked up a lot. Yes, it has. Probably 2 to 3 television calls a week, and probably close to 10, 8 to 10 radio a week. So.
Well, you're more famous than George Gobel. There's no question about that, and you're actually funnier. But anyway, Johnny, let me tell you what I want to talk about. Rob Shire went to a funeral yesterday. It's kind of interesting in the sense it was a celebration of life, but it was really backwards. This guy, in my opinion, who the celebration was for, possibly did not have to die. Is that correct?
Right.
Okay, Robbie's going to tell us about what happened. Rob Shire, Dr. John Huber.
I went to a funeral yesterday at a great big church, and I got to the door, and this was a friend of mine who had died who wasn't vaccinated, and he refused to wear a mask. And he had done a lot of serving at this church and, you know, worked for them, operated the coffee bar there. And I got to the door and the minister was there welcoming people in, and I had my mask on, and she said, "Oh, you don't need to wear a mask in here." And I wore it anyway. And the only other person there at the celebration of life for this guy that died of COVID, the only other person wearing a mask was a 15-year-old kid, and I think he wore it because the school required it or something. And all the other people in there just believed that they were untouchable. But here, their most devout believer in the whole fold, he was really a staunch believer, died of COVID, and here they're celebrating his life, and they weren't wearing masks and they weren't vaccinated.
Well, the one comment I want to make here, because Johnny, as you know, a lot of our listeners, and Ken and Robbie both know that a lot of our listeners don't believe in the vaccine. They do believe in masking up when it's necessary. But as Jim McKinney, who's the co-host of this particular program, says, you know, odds are very, very slim, assuming you're not elderly and you don't have any extenuating medical circumstances. Assuming that that's the case, you're probably okay. But he said, you know, this guy was 74 years of age. That's getting up there. Golden and I are both just about, he's actually older than 74, as am I, as you know, Johnny. And the fact of the matter is, when you get to be our age, you have extenuating circumstances.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, compromised immune systems, you know, anybody with a compromised immune system should be super cautious. If they're not willing to get the vaccine, they need to be doing everything they can to limit their exposure. And, you know, the two biggest things, obesity and being over 60, those are the two biggest, you know, precursors that warn that if you get COVID, it's probably going to be fatal.
Yeah, and then after the celebration of life, they had laid out this big food bar of, you know, turkey sandwiches and cookies. No sneeze bar. People were just walking up there and touching the food and grabbing food and.
I don't do those anyway.
No masks.
If they don't have the sneeze, I'm not doing it.
So when I saw all that, I finally shook the dust off my sandals and left.
You know, I got to tell you, I mean, I, whether or not I get a booster shot is kind of up in the air. I don't even know that I have to at this point anymore. But I'll tell you, in talking with my friends who are in the medical profession, given the fact that I'm 77 years of age, given the fact that I do have extenuating medical circumstances, why the hell take a chance? I mean, even McKinney agrees with me on that one. He says, of course, at your, you know, at your stage, Al, and your condition, you ought to do that. But, you know, for the vast majority of the country, that probably isn't the case. I find it very, very interesting in this case, though, and I guess I'm addressing this question first to you, John. Why would a church come out and do what this church did? I mean, it is just beyond my wildest imagination, man. Why would they do that? I mean, a guy dies, and they don't even acknowledge his death. You know, I guess, Rob, how do they handle that?
Well, they certainly acknowledged that he had died.
And, well, of course, and
they, yeah. They didn't mention anything about COVID or the fact that they told him he didn't need to wear a mask or get vaccinated. I mean, it's probably akin to some of the stuff they do down in Texas, right, John? The snake handlers?
Well, we don't have snake handlers in Texas. Those are Arkansas.
Oh, so. Okay.
thanks for doing that, too.
Well, you've got rattlesnakes down there. I just figured as much, that's all.
We shoot snakes here in Texas.
So. I mean, I got to tell you, you know, I agree with not the 99% of my listeners who say that I'm, you know, that I don't particularly want to get vaccinated just because the government tells me. I mean, Johnny, as you know, I do a Bible study every single week, and I've got people in my Bible study, robust workers, guys who are in their 50s, very, very early 60s, because of what they do for a living, they're in fantastic physical condition. They don't like the government telling them that they don't have a choice, they have to be immunized. But the fact of the matter is, if you fall into a certain category, you're crazy if you don't get immunized, in my opinion. And what I find to be even more interesting is, and I'm going to turn the mic over to you here, John, why do people do things like this? I mean, why does a church endorse sick people to not try to get sicker?
Well, I don't. You know, I don't know exactly what they're saying. I wasn't there. I haven't heard their sermons. I haven't, you know, you gave me the name of the church, and because of my circumstances today, I haven't been able to go do any kind of research on that. But I do know that, you know, you're talking about something that is faith-based, okay? And to some extent, there's actually a lot of faith in science too. We start talking about electron microscopes and how we actually, you know, we don't really see what we think we see. We're seeing shadows. So there's a little bit of faith going on in there too, but it's not to the extent that we talk about with religion. And you know, if they're pushing faith, where does that stop? And I think what we've done is we've created two different groups of people out there. We've got the scientists out there and the people who believe in science, and they think religion should be treated the same way as a science. And we have people who believe in a faith-based religiosity system, and they think they should treat science like religion. And the reality of it is, if we treat science like science and religion like religion, they actually fit pretty good hand in hand together. And there are zealots in both of those camps that, you know, if you're either for me or you're against me, and they indoctrinate people, and they indoctrinate their parishioners, and they indoctrinate their readers on Twitter and on Facebook. This is the science, and it's just...
Johnny, got to take a real quick commercial break. Sorry, only going to be about 30 seconds. Ladies and gentlemen, stick around. I'm going to be right back with Robbie and John and possibly Ken. Stick around.